Hello and welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. Today on the show, we'll be talking with Chris Eccles, the volunteer manager at Blank Park Zoo, about some exciting upcycle events that we've done at Blank Park Zoo, and she'll tell us all about it. But first, we're going to talk to Jessie Lowry, our conservation manager, and she's going to tell us a little bit about conservation at Blank Park Zoo.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm so glad to be here again today, and I kind of like to just take a couple moments and set the stage, talk about the role of conservation with modern zoos like Blank Park Zoo, and all the different ways that we are helping to save imperiled populations of wildlife around the world. The mission of Blank Park Zoo is to inspire an appreciation of the natural world through conservation, education, research, and recreation. I really see the zoo as a window to the wild, a place that we invite the community, schools, families, to come to the zoo and see all the beautiful charismatic species that we have here at Blank Park Zoo. Look into the eyes of a snow leopard, see the amazing agility of a sea lion, and feel that sense of awe that we all feel when we see these beautiful creatures. But our role as a zoo is to find ways to turn that sense of awe into a real conservation action, a real behavior change that we can all do in our personal lives that's going to help save animals in the wild. And sometimes that's quite a leap. We've surveyed our audience, and we know that folks that come to the zoo want to come have an affordable, fun day out with their family. And we definitely excel at giving them that fun, affordable day out. But while they're here, we want to make sure that we are educating about the real role of zoos, which is to help save wild animals. And so what this radio show is really about is to talk about all the different ways that with the community support of Central Iowans and beyond, we're able to make an impact to animals worldwide. And we do that in a lot of different ways. We do that by being green, by having sustainable business practices, because our impact and our ecological footprint has a direct impact and a direct correlation to wild animals, especially native animals here in Iowa and in the Midwest. We do a lot of things locally, like our Plant Grow Fly Pollinator Conservation Project, where we encourage people to plant butterfly gardens. Whether it's a single pot on your back porch or an entire prairie restoration, we believe that each of us can do our part to help save pollinators. And that's another very easy, practical conservation action that folks of all demographics can take. And really the backbone of what a zoo can do to help save animals is the support of field conservation, the support of those organizations and people that are out on the front lines in the range countries of many of the animals that we have here at Blank Park Zoo. And so we support them financially, also via in-kind support. And some of the projects, for example, is Giraffe Conservation Foundation in Namibia, Chimpanzee Sanctuary and Wildlife Conservation Trust in Uganda. Of course, International Rhino Foundation, in honor of our rhinos and our baby rhino, Tumani, and hornbills in Thailand, and the list goes on. So we do a lot of international projects, a lot of national projects, and a lot of local projects as well. But if you really want the most bang for your buck, to help the local environment and help to save wildlife, making a difference locally is really an important thing to do. Think global, act local. It's kind of a cliche, but it really is true. And so while we are leaders in giraffe conservation and rhino conservation, we're really working hard to be leaders in the local scene here in Iowa as well. And our upcycle program is one of the best examples of that. And so, Chris, we're really excited to have you here today to tell us more about the upcycle program. But let's first hear a little bit more about yourself and your role here at Blank Park Zoo.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me. So I am the volunteer manager here at Blank Park Zoo. I started about 5.5 years ago, and I really enjoy my job. I get to work with the people that come to the zoo and help them find their passion to connect to the animals and to help our wonderful zoo, and also get connected to help conservation here in Polk County. So I really enjoy it. We have a lot of different types of volunteers here. We have special event volunteers. We have volunteers that help with animal care and education. And we have a great teen volunteer program, our zoo crew. I love those guys. They're 13 to 17-year-old teens that come out to the zoo, and they're really finding out what they want to be when they grow up. So the zoo crew is a great program for them to find out what it's all about to be at the zoo. And when they're 16, a lot of them work here at the zoo, which is great.
So how do you get into a role like this? What's your background?
My background is in parks and recreation management. So my career has kind of just developed as we've gone along, and I've always enjoyed being outdoors, enjoyed teaching kids and adults about the outdoors and getting people to help promote that.
You told me once, one of my things I like to do is ride bicycles, mm-hmm. and you told me once you helped like create a bike trail.
Yeah, so in Pennsylvania, there's a lot of railroad trails or railroad ties that have to be made into trails. And so it was one of my projects. I worked for AmeriCorps Vista, and we went out and helped maintain a trail that was in existence and then started working on a trail for connecting communities through a bike trail, which is a great way to make sure people get out into the community and enjoy nature right in their backyard.
Well, being the volunteer manager here at the zoo is a fantastic way to help connect people with nature, which is what the zoo is all about. And like you said, you get to work with people of all ages, from zoo crew all the way to retired folks who come here and really help build capacity and run our events and do so many important things that we could not achieve without the volunteers. So volunteers are also really involved in the Upcycle program. Why don't you give us kind of a summary of what the Upcycle program is?
Sure. So an Upcycle program is, we started this program, Des Moines Parks and Rec and Blank Park Zoo, we got together, started thinking about what we can do to help our, to get the invasive plants out of our parks. But then Callie over at Parks and Rec saw the giraffes eating some honeysuckle on Facebook and said, hey, we've got plenty of honeysuckle in our parks. How can we get involved? So we started in about 2014, I believe it was, and we just planned some events to get our volunteers here at the zoo, but also volunteers that are involved in Parks and Rec. And Trees Forever was also involved with that to get people out to remove honeysuckle was our focus, and then to get it over here to the zoo because who doesn't want to feed a giraffe or a rhino?
To your knowledge, are there any other zoos in the country doing similar programs?
There are. I'm not positive calling Upcycle, but I know that a lot of zoos use browse, and so they'll go out and get fresh browse for their animals, and that's a really good source of fiber for our animals and gives them something different to eat than the normal carrots and apples and things like that they may have. So it's a great way to get out into the environment and use what they have.
I've seen the giraffe eat some browse, and it's almost like candy. I mean, just how they like it, not in terms of nutrition, but
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the honeysuckle has a sweet taste to it, and they seem to really enjoy it. It's kind of a treat that they get, so they seem to enjoy it a lot.
So let's back up for a moment and talk about, you said invasive plant species. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that a lot of the listeners will recognize honeysuckle in the landscape, and it does smell very, very good at certain times per year, and it is very lovely to look at. But you say it's an invasive species, and what does that mean?
It means that it just spreads rapidly, and it can go over a large area. It's honeysuckle, you can see it year-round. It's green, and it's neat to look at and definitely pretty for your gardens. But when it gets into the forest, it starts cutting out the light to our the forest floor. So you don't want to do that because you want to make sure that the little flowers and the shrubbery that are native animals, butterflies and bees included in that, need those native plants. So it's really cutting out all that that growth that should be happening naturally. And plants get introduced all the time, and they may look nice, and if they're not kept under control, then they just kind of spread and become a problem.
And a lot of people will get the term invasive and aggressive mixed up. Mm-hmm. And so I think when we say invasive, we're usually talking about, like you said, plant species that have been introduced that are not native to the upper Midwest, native to Iowa, native to this eco region. And you can get down to as specific as you want to get. But like you said, as a non-native species, when they are introduced, then they will choke out the native species because they are don't have to work within the natural parameters that our native species have to. And so they'll bloom longer and throughout, you know, get green before the other native species and really choke out those native plants. And like with our pollinator conservation project, Plant Grow Fly, it's all about making room for native species of plants and how they're really the building block of this entire ecosystem. So by taking out these invasive species, we're giving room for native species of plants. Native species or plants are going to help with soil health. They're going to help support our native pollinators. Native pollinators are going to support our native birds and all the way up until to mammals. And, you know, I went to a Trees Forever training on invasive species, and they said something that was really helpful, I think, to me and to other folks who don't know much about this issue to understand the issue. Because another invasive species is the barberry, Japanese barberry bush, mm-hmm. which is a very common species that many people will see in urban landscaping and corporate landscaping. Many of us have these in our front yard. And people will say, well, my barberry bush isn't invasive. I'm nowhere near the woodlands. And it's helpful to remember that when that bush will produce its fruit or its seed pods, its berries, whatever it is to that specific species of plant, it'll be eaten by birds, it'll be taken up by other species of animals, and then distributed after they go through their digestive system mm-hmm. into the woodlands. And that's exactly how invasive species spread.
Yep. And garlic mustard is another one that will cut down on your forest floor. It's low growing, but it'll also cut down on that on those native plants that we all want. But the nice thing about you can upcycle garlic mustard for your own and make some pesto out of it. And I know that Polk County Conservation, Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation will hold programs. You can go out and help remove the garlic mustard and then make some pesto. So
have you tried it?
I have not yet.
I haven't tried it either, but I heard it's great. Yes.
So it's safe to say that these plants are sort of like the dandelions of the forest.
I think that dandelions are definitely an aggressive species that many people don't like, but I think that these species are specifically invasive and they're not native to the area, and so they take over. And so it's kind of upcycle is an everybody wins program. We get to take it out, it's good for nature, and then we get to bring it back for the zoo animals. Yes. And so everybody kind of wins.
And I have to say, there's so many other animals at our zoo that like it besides the giraffe. Giraffe are just one of those things we all kind of like naturally go to. Rhino, of course, they like the honeysuckle, but also our tortoises. Barnaby loves the honeysuckle, and our birds, I know our education animals, they've been giving it to the chinchillas and some of the rabbits and things like that. So other animals like it too, which is really fun.
And Barnaby is actually an Aldabra tortoise who's about 90 years old, about 450 pounds. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of a local celebrity if you come through the zoo. A lot of people know him, and he does love dandelions as well as browse. What are some of the other species that you take out of the forest besides honeysuckle?
Sure. We have a whole list that's approved from our vet here at the zoo. And other things we take out, they're not necessarily so much invasive, but they can be aggressive and take over a little bit. Dogwood's one of those that can be a little obnoxious and gross sometimes. And so it's nice to just, you don't need a whole big stand of the dogwood. So we'll take some of that. Willow is another one. And I know we've taken out ginkgo out of some of the other parks. And ginkgo's a very heavy tree. It was really hard to get that tree trunk into the truck, but our keepers really enjoyed it. And they don't just use it to eat. They'll use it for the animals to play with sometimes, to stand on, to perch on for the birds. They might use a log and trade out something in the tiger exhibit or in the otter exhibit just to give some new life to the exhibit and something new for the animals to play with. So it's not just for eating, which is nice.
And mulberry is another species that we take out. Is that right?
Yes, yes. Okay. We do mulberry, okay. Yes.
And so all the species are approved by our vet and can be brought back for the animals to eat. And it is kind of a special treat for them. And it's used for browse and for furniture. Maybe we could call it furniture in their exhibits, which sure. needs to be, cycled out every once in a while. Talk more about the different partners that are working on Upcycle with Blank Park Zoo.
Sure. So we started this program with Des Moines Parks and Rec and then Trees Forever. So they were our first two groups that we started working with. And then we started working with Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, and they really got into the program this past year, and Polk County Conservation also. And this year we were able to hold more upcycle programs, and with the help of Confluence, they really helped us out, because who doesn't want a good beer after you've worked really hard in the woods? So Confluence was a big partner too in that.
So what parks have you worked in? What areas around central Iowa have you cleared these invasive species from?
Sure. We've gone to the park by the Art Center, and we've also gone to Ewing Park and Easter Lake and Fort Des Moines Park, just down the road here from the zoo.
Tell us what an upcycle event looks like. How many volunteers? How do you find the volunteers? What kind of tools do you use? Things like that.
Sure. So we use a lot of people who are in the community, and we ask them to come out and help. So around the park itself, I myself will go through and invite our staff and invite our zoo volunteers, and each partner has their own set, so they put it out to everyone. We put out signs, and Des Moines Parks and Rec will have signs. You might have seen them at Gray's Lake this summer as you walk through on Thursday nights, saying that we're doing upcycle.
And so what kind of tools and how hard of work is this?
It can be tough. You have to watch out for the poison ivy. It's probably the biggest danger out there. So you want to make sure you wear long pants and long shirt, hat, and all that stuff. We use loppers mostly, but every once in a while we'll get some hand saws out. But the loppers are probably the most common thing, and gloves. But yeah, you always have to watch out for the poison ivy. I think all of us have gone home with the poison ivy, a little breakout here and there. And then when we get to a certain point, Des Moines Parks and Rec will use the big equipment. So they'll bring out the chainsaws for the bigger trees. And they also have some bigger equipment that they use to get the bigger stuff out for us. And we bring a truck here from the zoo, and we load it up as much as we possibly can without it overflowing too much. And then it's a dump truck, so then we bring it back to the zoo and dump it out, and then I call for all the teams to say, we've got some fresh browse, and probably within an hour, it's all gone.
So, you know, one of the things we want to let people know is that, you know, even though you see giraffe eating trees or whatever, not all trees are safe for giraffe or our animals to eat.
Right. So we have to make sure those are approved browse. So some of the trees around here, we wouldn't just go and cut. So we have to know our trees when we go out and ID them. And that's important, which is nice to have that partnership with our parks department, because they have some experts. So when we're out with the volunteers, we have some people who can help identify, this is the tree that we want to take, or this is a brush we want to take, and we want to leave the oak and things like that, which are dangerous for the animals. So we have to be very picky about what we take.
And that's the basic reason why if someone calls us up and says, hey, I have a big load of brush, we really can't take it here at the zoo.
Yeah, there, and you need to be careful of spray and other things that maybe you've sprayed your garden or you're around your trees, and we don't want that to influence our animals too. So we are very picky about it in that respect. But come out to upcycle and help us take the stuff out of the parks. The parks would appreciate it. It makes our parks look nicer. It helps our natural native wildlife. And we're glad to have anybody else that wants to come out, and you want to come out and see the zoo, you know, and see that you can see, sometimes you can see the animals eating the browse, which is great.
How are the areas picked to be upcycled?
Good question. So a lot of times we rely on our partners and with the Parks and Rec, and so they decide what parks really need. And Greenwood was picked first as one of the parks we really wanted to get cleared out because it's an older park, and it's been around for a long time, and they were just trying to get it to look nice, and it has a nice neighborhood around it, and people in the neighborhood wanted to get that park to look a little bit cleaner again. So that's the reason we picked that park. Then with Gray's Lake, well, they want to make their bike trails look nice again, and so you can see the lake as you're going through on the trail. And with Confluence, it seemed like a natural fit. Confluence just put out a patio, and they want their bikers to come through and highlight the park and, of course, their brewery. And so it just seemed like a natural fit. So we are helping them by providing a nice view and then providing the park what they needed to. And then the park was helping us with some browse. So that's how that kind of came about.
I'm sure the upcycle program cuts down more browse than we could take at the zoo. Do you know what happens to the rest of the browse? Is it used in any other way?
It mostly gets mulched. So, and they'll use it for mulch later on, which takes a lot, which is nice that we don't have to mulch everything for them, because that does take a lot of energy to do that and use their manpower and their mulchers. So they like the fact that we take it here to the zoo, and they get excited the fact that they feel like they're helping the animals.
The term upcycle, mm-hmm. is that something we came up with, or is that more of a bigger term that people are starting to use now?
It kind of came from the fact when you look at upcycling a dresser into something, maybe a bookshelf, or that was a term that was being thrown around to try to recycle furniture and things like that. So we were just brainstorming and trying to figure out, what do you call it when you take the browse here that we're not going to use it for this, but we're going to use it for our animals? And it just seemed like a natural a fit to call it upcycle. So it just kind of stuck.
So you said we've been doing this program since about 2013 or 14.
14, I believe.
Do we have any metrics, any numbers of about how much of this invasive plant material that we've taken out of parks?
I believe it's so hard to say sometimes, but I believe it's about 10 tons. I'm pretty sure it's about that, 10 tons of invasive plants out of the woods.
I'm sure it's hard to figure via truckloads.
Yeah.
But I think everybody can agree that that's going to make a huge impact for our parks mm-hmm. and for the space that all of our native species need the most. So talk a little bit about how it helps having the zoo staff involved in this and in our VTO program.
Sure. So our zoo staff are great. They love to come out and support conservation, no matter where, if they want to support the rhinos internationally or if they want to help out locally. So we decided we have companies that come here to the zoo and have volunteer hours. So our management said, well, hey, other groups are doing it. Why don't we do that? And our mission is to get out and do local conservation. So it seemed like a good fit. So they decided to offer 4 hours of volunteer time off to all full-time employees. So most of that can be used towards our conservation, or what we call ourselves, the Wild Bunch. So we go out and do the upcycle, or we have an adopt-a-park over at Fort Des Moines. So a lot of time we're removing invasive plants there, but we're also trying to pick up trash while we're there too. And it's a good way to give back to the community. And volunteer time off is nice because it's paid time. And a lot of people go over their time that are really into it. They'll go over their 4 hours. So they're really dedicated and glad to do it.
And the Wild Bunch does more than just upcycle. Tell us about the prairie seed harvesting.
So that's a lot. That's probably one of my favorites, is to go out into the prairies. And we go to Chechako Bottoms a lot of times. There's a full moon. Sometimes we participate into a full moon prairie seed harvesting, which is really fun. And we'll harvest prairie seed. So that's native prairie seed that's growing in the prairies here in Chechako Bottoms near Bondurant, and they're trying to bring back the prairies themselves. So it's nice to know that they can get prairie seed that's native to the area that they have already, and then they have tons of volunteers that come out beginning in August, maybe sometimes July, throughout the fall to pick up the prairie seeds that they want to make new prairie. So it's really simple to do. You're just deadheading. They tell you exactly what flower they want. They show you the flower that they want, and you just focus on that one species, which is nice, so you're not getting confused, and put it into a bucket. And by the time you got a full bucket by the end of the night, and then they will clean it throughout the winter, and then they'll reseed it in the spring.
So tell us, how do you collect prairie seeds?
You just snap off it's like deadheading any plant at home. You don't want to take the whole plant because you want to leave some there, but they'll tell you about a percentage that you want to take from a plant. So it's just snapping off the top of the plant's flower head and putting it into a bucket or into a sack.
And
it's that simple.
Different species will ripen at different times. Mm-hmm. And when you take the seed heads off of prairie plants that are ready, the seeds will just fall into your hand, you know, and it's pretty, pretty easy. So that sounds like a really fun project. And that park with Polk County Conservation is an amazing ecological hotspot. Mm-hmm. I'm sure many of the listeners know that Iowa used to be one of the most biologically diverse areas in the whole world, covered in over 90% the tall grass prairie, but now is the most converted landscape in the nation. Mm-hmm. And that park is a shining example of how we can meet in the middle and get some of this biodiversity back. And they even have sandhill cranes at that park. So that is really, really exciting that we're a part of that. So what can anybody listening at home or going out with their kids or working in their backyard, what can they do to help with invasive species? What can just anybody do to help with this problem?
I think learning from your local conservation professionals and in your county conservation, find out what they're doing. There's so many counties that are out there doing the exact same thing that we're doing. So get involved with them, find out how you can help clean up your parks in your area, and then also research when you are landscaping, what's going to be the best for your backyard habitat. And there are certain flowers we all do like, but you just want to make sure that you're doing a little bit of research to make sure that it's not going to take over eventually a park nearby you. But that's probably the best thing. Or come to the zoo, and we can get you involved with our wild bunch a little bit more and find out what we're doing. Join us on any of that kind of stuff. We'd love to have everybody come out.
And I think Trees Forever has some really nice resources on their website as far as these common plants that we all may want to buy for mm-hmm. our landscaping needs that mm-hmm. are actually invasive. And I think if you look at that list, most people will be really surprised at some of the very familiar plant species that are on there. So we can all be more careful and think of first do no harm in mm-hmm. our yard. Because it is really important, especially with climate change and how everything is changing with our climate. So how do folks learn more about volunteering at the zoo?
You can go to our website, blankparkzoo.com, and there's a whole tab under Support the Zoo. There's a volunteer tab, and we have all of our different volunteer opportunities listed there. You can also get involved, I'll say, with the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, which nice is they are all about Iowa. So they have projects, events, offices all over the state. So they're always looking for volunteers to go out and help them. So I would definitely, no matter where you are in the state of Iowa, you can help out the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation.
Thank you so much, Chris, for being here and for all the awesome work that you do with the Wild Bunch.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. And if you want to know more about what we were talking about today, again, go to blankparkzoo.com. That's blankparkzoo.com. And there's a whole bunch of resources on there. You can click on the conservation tab and find out all about Plant Grow Fly and all the other conservation projects we do. And plus, you can find out our hours here at the zoo and fun events coming up. It's a lot of fun. Blankparkzoo.com. Also, you can subscribe to our podcast. If you missed part of today's show or a previous show, you can catch those on iTunes or Google Play. And we're all out of time, so join us again next time for Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.